A voice crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord. The prophecy of Isaiah that is coming to fulfillment in today's gospel. For John the Baptizer, the cousin of Jesus, is now at the Jordan and is that voice in the desert preparing the way for the Lord. Isaiah, we will hear from him a lot each and every Advent that we celebrate. And that first reading today was from Isaiah, but that particular prophecy has only partially, in a very small way, been fulfilled. Yes, Christ came during, as St. Luke tells us in the Nativity narrative, during the Pax Romana, during the peace of Rome. But that was only a symbol of the ultimate peace that Christ brings for all of the world. That peace that will only be realized, that prophecy of Isaiah that will only come to fulfillment when Christ returns in his glory. Now, Advent is a time of preparation, isn't it? And when we think of that time of preparation, we think of Christmas, which is a really great thing to think of, because it is our commemoration of Christ becoming one like us. It is his incarnation through the gift of Mary to become one like us in all things but sin. And certainly that is something to celebrate. Some of the readings of Advent and some years of Advent, the readings focus upon that first coming of the Lord. But we are reminded that the Lord will return as he said he would at the end of time to claim his victory over sin and over death. That victory is implied in today's first reading. It is also given to us in today's gospel when we are reminded that we, the daughters and sons of the Lord, are to be fruitful in our faithfulness to following the Lord into that eternal kingdom. In that second reading, Paul reminds the people, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, who thought that because we are sons and daughters of Abraham, we don't have anything to worry about. But the Lord is coming, just not for those who were chosen to prepare the way for the coming of the Christ, but for all peoples. And so Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, speaks to us on this second Sunday of Advent. Today I come to thank you for the many and varied ways in which you are living with the Lord as you await his second coming. You recognize the Lord's blessings and the Lord's mercy in your own lives, and you have shared those blessings and that mercy with those whom we send to remote areas of our nation and even to the ends of the earth. Having been blessed to have served the church as a foreign missionary, I can assure you that that which you have shared has gone a very long way to bring the light of Christ into the darkness of our world. A world that wants to reject Christ and go deeper into darkness. When I first arrived in Kenya, East Africa, it was toward the end of 7 long years of drought. For 7 years, the people had planted. Some rains had come, but never enough rain to be able to harvest. It was through your gift that we were able to provide food, beans and corn and rice, food to sustain life until the next harvest season. And for that gift, I thank you. In Kenya in those days, and in many parts of the world, even today, there is no system of social security. The only assurance one has that one will be cared for in their advanced years is found in the hope of their children. But what if you have no children, or your children have preceded you in death, which is most likely? You have no one to turn to in your need, except to the local Catholic community. And it is through your love that those communities are able to help. I remember one woman, her name was Mwangi. Mwangi did not know how old she was, but she could remember events that occurred when she was quite a young girl. They were events of national importance. And so we guesstimated Mwangi was in her 90s or even possibly 100 years of age. Now, when she was a young woman, shortly after she was married, she and her husband left the far northern part of Kenya and traveled all the way down to the far southern part of Kenya in search of work, in search of employment. They found jobs. The jobs were on a colonial farm. Colonial days came and the colonial days went. And the farm was divided up into small shambas, into small plots of land, and given to the workers. Mwangi and her husband worked that small plot of land, and they were able to make ends meet. Her husband preceded her in death, and they had no children. But Mwangi every day continued to pick up her hoe and to plant or weed or cultivate that small garden until finally she no longer had the strength to be able to pick up her hoe. She had no one to turn to in her need except to the local Catholic community. And it was with your help that we were able to help, to provide her with food and clothing, fresh thatch for the roof of her hut, mud to repair its walls, a wool blanket to keep her warm at night. Do you know it gets cold in Africa at night? Not as cold as it gets here in Indiana during the winter, but it gets cold. Our mission started at about 6,000 feet above sea level. And finally, when the time came, you provided her with a place of rest. Mwangi was not Catholic. She was not a Christian. But it was through your love, the local Catholic community was able to witness to the good news that Jesus Christ brings for all of creation by living out the corporal works of mercy, by feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, and burying the dead. And for that, I sincerely thank you. It was through God's grace and those corporal works of mercy, Mwangi asked to be baptized on her deathbed. Today, at the invitation of your pastor, I come to ask for your continued help with the corporal works of mercy through the Ministry of Cross Catholic Outreach. Now, as you possibly remember from previous visits, we never take up a collection when we come, but in the pews, at the ends of each pew, is this brochure. If you're setting it at an end, if you could pick it up and pass it down and share it with others, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you. The brochure will tell you just a little bit about the work of Cross Catholic Outreach. What is it that they do? Whatever the local Catholic community says is the most urgent of the needs. It might be a major water project to bring water into the village from miles and miles away, or to dig a well. It might be a food project or a housing project. I volunteered to preach for Cross Catholic Outreach for three reasons. The first reason is the majority of the gifts that they give is at the parish level. It's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? It is in our parishes. Yet I can tell you from my own mission experience, it is often difficult to obtain the resources needed. And very often meager resources can make major changes in people's lives. By working at the parish level, we're meeting the most urgent of the needs as presented by that local Catholic community. We are therefore serving the poorest of the poor. By working at the parish level, we are able to use the leadership of that parish. By using that leadership, by many other means that Cross Catholic seeks out every day, we are able to keep down the cost. Keeping down the cost is the second reason that I preach for Cross Catholic Outreach. Of all of the gifts that Cross Catholic receives, including gifts in kind, if you open the brochure, there is a pie chart, and we will learn from the pie chart that of all of those gifts, over 95.38% reaches its target in the missions. That leaves over 4% for the general overall administration to do fundraising, to make sure that the projects are completed in the missions, and to send priests to parishes throughout our nation to link our parishes with the needs of the parishes in the missions. And so often when we come, in this time of drastic priest shortage in our nation, we are able to celebrate all of the masses. So our pastors can be away for vacation, retreat, ongoing education, or just to get out of Dodge for a couple of days. There is no collection today. We would ask that you would take the brochure home with you and to consider a gift for the poorest of the poor. As you possibly remember, The brochure is perforated and it comes apart. And yes, it does form an envelope. The envelope is postage paid and is addressed. You may place your gift in the mail. You may also give it to me following the sacred liturgy. For $35, you can provide 233 meals for children. For $250, you can help with a self-help project. So self-help projects, it's the third reason I preach for Cross. Cross not only gives the fish, it teaches the community how to fish. For $2,500, you or a group of families or a parish or a group of parishes or a council or a group of councils of the Knights of Columbus can help a family break the cycle of poverty by helping them build one of the multi-room homes in many mission territories as a picture of what the people were living in and also of one of the new homes. If you look at the envelope, you will see that there are many different ways in which you can contribute. You can even use PayPal or a credit card if you would like to make a monthly donation. Up at the top of the envelope, there are three bold lines, and that is a place for your prayer requests. While Cross Catholic Outreach is a lay organization, they begin every workday in prayer, and on Tuesdays, it is an extended morning of prayer in which they offer your prayer requests. So even if you are unable to financially contribute to their ministry, please share with them your prayer requests. You can find all of their current worldwide projects. You can also find the financial report at crosscatholic.org/outreach. That's crosscatholic.org/outreach. That address is on the brochure. There's also a QR code that will take you to the same place. Now, the reason I point that out, if there is a particular project that you would like your donation to go to, write that project number down on the inside of the envelope. Do not write just water or food or housing. It has to be a specific project. And the reason that I point that out is that under the Code of Canon Law of the Church, if you write the project number, it becomes a designated donation. And so not only will 95.38% of your gift go, but 100% of your gift will go for that project. There is one final thing that I beg of you, and that is please, please continue to remember the missionaries and the suffering church in your daily prayer. All of the missionaries can tell us of the dangers and the challenges of the ministry. Some of us can tell you that we have been held at gunpoint for considerable lengths of time. And a few of us can also tell you that we have had friends martyred for no other reason than to bring that light of Christ into the darkness of our world. My sisters and brothers, unless you have access to the Vatican News Service or a foreign broadcast, you probably don't realize that we live in an extremely active time of martyrdom. There are more intense than even the first four centuries of the church. In 24 months, 22 priests were martyred in Mexico. Two more were just recently martyred in northern Mexico. On Divine Mercy Sunday, a priest was martyred in El Salvador by MS-13. 9 months ago, three religious sisters in Central Africa were martyred. 5 months ago, five Catholics were martyred in southern Sudan, three of them lay people and two of them religious sisters. Nigeria, it is unbelievable. It is probably the most martyred nation in the world. While Nigeria is 50% Christian, last year in 2021, over 4,650 Christians were martyred. Please, please continue to remember the suffering church and the missionaries in your daily prayer. And thank you for all that you have done and all that you continue to do for the various aspects of the missionary work of the church. And God bless you. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth,